ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி ஸ்லோகா 244. ஏதாவுபாதி பரஜீவயோஸ்தயோ சம்யங் நிராசேன பரோ ந ஜீவஹ. ராஜ்யம் நரேந்திரஸ்ய பட்டஸ்ய கேடகஹ தயோரபோஹேன பட்டோ ந ராஜா. So we are dealing with the topic of the Mahavakya Vicharaha. And as part of that discussion in this shloka, the upadhis, actually in the last webinar, we said that we have got one consciousness and two upadhis, namely Maya and Sharira. And the superior upadhi giving superior attributes and inferior upadhi giving inferior attributes. And therefore, we see differences between Jiva and Ishvara. Then, what is our job for recognizing the Mahavakyam then? Shankaracharya says, temporarily remove the Upadhi. When we say temporarily remove, not physically remove, we cannot do that. Because removing means what? It is intellectually remove, which is called Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. We went through all these discussions in the last webinar. By applying that lakshana, namely the Bhagatyaga lakshana, remove it in your mind. It is a mental exercise. It is like saying that what? Electricity is one even when you see a 5-watt bulb or a 5,000-watt bulb. Our eyes, they continue to see the difference between the bright light and the dim light. But intellectually, mentally, we remove the bulb and the brilliance and see the oneness of the underlying electricity. Let us not mistake that we are saying consciousness is like electricity. Don't extend it too much, because as I have told many times, the example is supposed to be taken only for whatever it is communicated to. It should not be extended too much. So Shankaracharya says, remove the upadhi. Tayoho Parajivayoho. Tayoho means the Parajivayoho. Yetau Upadhi. Para refers to Ishwaraha. For Ishwara and Jiva. Yetau Upadhi. These two are the Upadhis. They are the conditioning factors. We already said what Upadhi is. Conditioning factors. Upadhi is actually a very, very difficult word to translate. The definition of Upadhi, if you really want to put it in a qualitative sense, it is something that which seemingly transfers its attributes to a nearby object. We gave the example of a crystal getting color by a colored flower or something sitting by that. So the flower is the upadhi for the red crystal, because the flower seemingly transfers its redness to the crystal, which is otherwise a clear crystal. For Ishvara and Jiva, yetav upadhi. These two are the upadhis. And which are those two? Again, we have to go back to the previous shloka. Maya and panchakoshaha. Panchakoshaha, or we can call it sharira, the body. So in technical language, they call it as karana upadhi and karya upadhi. And that, what is our job then? Samyak nirase. Samyak nirase. Once we totally negate them, how? By understanding that both of them are of lesser order of reality. And therefore, from the standpoint view of consciousness, they are as good as not there. This is called nirasaha or nishedaha or bhagatyagaha. And what do we discover to our surprise is, na paraha, minus maya, consciousness cannot be called Ishvara at all, minus Maya. Chaitanyam cannot be called Ishvara at all without by minus Maya. And na Jivaha, that means the Ishvara loses its Ishvaratvam status once Maya Upadhi is absent. na jivaha. Jiva loses its status, jiva status. And what is jiva status? Subject to birth, karma, old age, disease, death, travel from one loka to another, shraddha, tarpana, antakriya. All these things are all there. They are all jiva's headaches. So, do I have children? And that also, do I have male children? They should do shraddha karma to me, tarpanas to me, whether they will do at all or not. All these are all whose lot? They are all the lot of the jiva. There is no shraddha or no tarpana for Brahman. So as long as I am an ajnani, I am anxious about all these factors. And once we remove the sharira upadhi, na jivaha. Jiva loses its jivatvam. Then what is left behind? Only one pure consciousness. Ishvara last minus upadhi. Ishvara last upadhi. So Ishvaratvam is gone. And here also jivatvam is gone. So it is like the wave and the ocean. As long as we see the nama rupa, name and form, wave has got its waveness and ocean has got its oceanness. Ocean is cause and wave is effect. As long as we focus on the nama rupa, intellectually, if you remove the nama rupa, then wave minus waveness is nothing but pure water. And ocean minus oceanness is nothing but pure water. And what is left behind? Only water. And where is the cause and where is the effect now? Both are gone. There can be a cause and effect relationship only when there is two. There are two things. Similarly, in Chaitanyam, where is the cause and where is the effect? Therefore, na paraha, na jivaha. And Shankaracharya, he gives another example here. We have the wave and the ocean example we gave. Shankaracharya gives the example. For example, there are two people. One is called a Raja, a king. And the other is called a Bhataha. Bhataha means a soldier or a policeman. What difference do I see between them? Both are only human beings. How do I know that one is Raja and the other one is a Bhataha? Raja has got the Simhasanam, representing the Rajyam or the scepter. And because of the presence of that, the human being enjoys the status of what? Rajahood. He is called a Raja. And Bhataha is a soldier when he has got what? Ketakaha, the armor or the uniform. So in the presence of the armor, he is called a Bhataha. And not only that, the moment I hold the scepter, not only I enjoy the status of Raja, I become the controller. And the one with armor, he becomes the Bhataha, the one who is controlled. So the supreme commander of the three armed forces, how long is that person the supreme commander? As long as he holds that position, the scepter so long as that scepter is there, then he is. The moment you remove the scepter and the armor, both are one and the same, the human being. So Shankaracharya says, Narendrasya Rajyam Upadhi. For a king, the kingdom, the scepter, the royal, they are all royal insignia. That is the Upadhi, the conditioning factor that gives the status of kingship to that person. And Bhatasya Upadhi Ketakaha, the Upadhi for the Bhataha, the soldier, that which gives the status to the Bhataha is the soldiership, the armor and all the uniform. And so no one is intrinsically a king. Suppose the kingness belongs to the human being intrinsically, then what will be the result? He will be eternally the king. It's not possible. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Tayoho apohe. Remove the two upadhis, namely the scepter and the armor. Na bataha, there is no soldier, and na raja, there is no raja also. Similarly, from the absolute standpoint, jiva and Ishvara are not there. That is why some people even think that Vedantins are Nastikas. This is another extreme. Because they dismiss Ishvara also. But remember that Vedantin does not dismiss Ishvara from the empirical world at all. As long as I operate through the body-mind complex as an individual, I have to accept that I am a jiva. and I have to accept the superiority of Ishvara also. That is why when Shankaracharya writes Vedanta Granthas, the beauty is what? The content of the book is what? Aham Brahmasmi, I am God. But in the beginning, what Shankaracharya writes? Oh Lord, you should bless me to complete this work. Right? So in fact, many people are not able to understand this aspect at all. And for them, Advaita is the most contradictory philosophy. As long as one sees these contradictions, one has to continue learning only. Advaita will never become evident to them. And when one reaches a stage where one can do namaskara to God and also say Aham Brahmasmi without doubt, then only he has thoroughly understood. And what is the Veda? We have seen in the last webinar also what are the Vedas. Vachyartha, Lakshyartha Veda or Vyavaharika, Paramarthika Veda. Shloka 245. अथात आदेश इति श्रुति स्वयं निषेधति ब्रह्मणि कल्पितं द्वयं श्रुति प्रमाणानुगृहीत बोधान तयोर निरास करणीय एव. So in the previous shlokas we saw that to understand the Mahavakya we have to take the jiva, the consciousness being with the conscious being with inferior attributes, that is the jiva. And we have to take Ishvara, which is the conscious being with superior attributes. The superior, inferior and all that we already saw that in the last webinar. So to see their oneness at the level of understanding, oneness at the level of understanding only, we have to remove the attributes, which we called as Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. Why it is called Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana? We don't remove the total jiva and the total Ishvara. We only remove one part of jiva and one part of Ishvara. So the attribute part of jiva and the attribute part of Ishvara, they are removed. Then a question might come, how can we remove the attributes? Because whenever we understand a substance, what do we really do? We always understand the substance along with its attributes only. How can I remove the attributes alone from a substance? It is not possible. For example, if I ask you to think of a particular person, immediately along with the person, what are the things coming to our mind? His height, his weight, his complexion, his gender, all attributes, they also come along with the substance, the object. Therefore, how can I remove the attributes from jiva and Ishvara? That is the question. It's very difficult to do that. So for that question, Shankaracharya, he gives the answer. The answer is actually given in a very nice succinct manner here. Attributes are of two types. One is called intrinsic attribute and our natural attribute, innate attributes or swabhavika dharmaha. And the other one is called incidental attribute or agantuka dharmaha, which is not intrinsic at all. So swabhavika dharma and agantuka dharma. Incidental attribute is agantuka dharma. And the intrinsic attributes can never be removed at all because they are intrinsic. And incidental attributes can be negated because they are incidental. And therefore we have to ask the question, what is the intrinsic nature of a jiva and Ishvara, and which are intrinsic, which are incidental? And when we analyze that, we find that all the attributes other than sat and chit are not natural and intrinsic attributes of jiva and Ishvara. So they are incidental attributes, they are superimposed attributes, they are kalpita dharmaha. Exactly like what? Actually, the snakeness, which is attributed to the rope seen by me. I see the rope, I attribute snakeness to that. There is no snake at all, but I think there is a snake. So this is what I do. So none of those attributes, that means what? I imagine that it may be a cobra, it may be poisonous, it could be a wild snake. All those things I imagine, I superimpose on that rope. And upon inquiry, I find out that none of those attributes are intrinsic to the rope at all. They are my imagination. Or the attributes I have in dream, for example. You got a Nobel Prize, for example. Nobel Prize or Bharat Ratna, whatever. You can think big. So, you know, all those, that will be negated when? Upon waking. Therefore, negatable attributes should not be included in the substance. This is the law. Because negatable attributes are incidental and they are not intrinsic. Now the question is, how do I know what are the negatable attributes and what are unnegatable attributes? There is no question of my liking or your liking. Whenever we come to the topic of consciousness or Brahman, Chaitanyam, it is not available for our instruments of knowledge to know. And therefore, we have to take the help of what? Shastras. So, Shastra Pramanameva. And therefore, Shastra tells us what are the negatable attributes and what are not the negatable attributes. Shastra says, all the objectifiable attributes are negatable. All the objectifiable attributes are negatible. Whatever one can objectify, either sensually or intellectually, mentally, conceive of, they are all kalpitam. This is said actually in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This is called Murta Murta Brahmanam. A beautiful section. Here the Upanishad talks about the nature of Atma. And while defining the nature of Atma, the Upanishad uses the word neti neti, na iti, na iti. Iti means anything objectifiable is iti. And whatever that can be objectified, it does not belong to Atma. Then after negating everything, whatever is left behind, that is Atma. And that is what is said here. Shrutihi swayam nishedati. Shruti itself negates kalpitam dvayam, all the dualistic attributes or differentiating attributes the Vedas themselves negate. In what form? In the case of Jiva, what are the attributes? The inferior attributes like what? I have limited knowledge, I am alpajnaha, alpashaktiman, limited power I have and all that. And in the case of Ishvara, the superior attributes like sarvajnaha and sarvashaktiman, all that thing. So, these are all differentiating attributes. They are called dvayam. So, Shruti negates all of them. In Kathopanishad, we already saw, anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat. Ishvara is good or bad? Generally, we say, Ishvara is good and Jiva is bad. Even that is a differentiating attribute. Therefore, Shruti says, goodness of Ishvara also is superimposed. And the badness of Jiva is also superimposed. There is only one Chaitanyam, which is beyond goodness and which is beyond badness. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharmat. So, Shruti hi kalpitam dvayam nishedati. And how does it do that? Athata adeshaha iti. Atata adeshaha, it should be actually within quotes occurring in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in the Murta 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 Brahmanam, that beautiful Murta Amurta Brahmanam, the second chapter, third section in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So here Shankaracharya, he quotes only the beginning, and this quoted portion is not relevant to us. The unquoted portion is what is relevant to us, that we have to take from the Upanishad. And that unquoted portion is neti neti. Yam neti neti vachanaihi nigama avochan tam deva devam ajamachyutam ahuragriyam. So, it is, these are all prasasmaraniya sotras, all these are so beautiful slokas. Neti neti vachanehi nigama avochan. Neti means na iti. Iti means what? This referring to anything that we can objectify. And all attributes are objectifiable attributes. Can we imagine, for example, an attribute which cannot be objectified? If there is an unobjectifiable attribute, then we will not know it. If you don't know that, how can we then talk about an unknown attribute? So, whatever we can conceive of in the mind, we have to negate. Then, who will be left out? The conceiver alone, the subject, That alone will be left out. So all the concepts will be dropped. The conceptless conceiver is Brahman. That's what Shruti says. Veda says that. So whatever you conceive, you drop them. Then what will be left out? The one who is aware of all concepts. And that one will be the consciousness or inert one that will be. The very fact that I am conceiving, that indicates I am a conscious being. Therefore, consciousness alone will be left behind. And this is called Nisheda Mukha Pramanam. In Vedanta, this is called Nisheda Mukha Pramanam. Relevant, revelation by negation. That's what Nisheda Mukha Pramanam means. Revelation by negation. And therefore, Dvayam Kalpitam Shrutihi Nishedati. And so what are we supposed to do now? Fourth line if you go. Tayoho Nirasaha Karaniya Eva. Therefore, to understand the Mahavakya, one has to negate both of them. Tayoho Nirasaha Karaniya Eva. You have to negate both of them. That is, both the superior attributes of Ishvara. When I say superior attributes, you can understand. Sarvajnaha, Sarvashaktiman, all that omniscience, all those things are superior attributes of Ishvara. And for the Jiva, whatever the inferior attributes of Jiva, Alpashaktiman, Alpajnaha and all that. So both the superior attributes of Ishvara, called Ishvara Upadhi, as well as the inferior attributes of Jiva, called the Jiva Upadhi, both have to be negated. Upadhi, we already know, this is a conditioning factor. As what? As less real. They have to be negated as less real, not as real as consciousness. And to do that, whose help do we need? Shruti Pramana Anugrihita Bodhat. With the help of the knowledge Bodhaha, which is gained with the help of Shruti Pramana, with the help of Shruti, we have to negate the superior and inferior attributes of both Ishvara and Jiva. All of them are at the mental level, understand, at the intellectual level. None of them are at the physical level. Shloka 246. Nedam nedam kalpitatvanna satyam rajyau drishtavyala vasvapna vachya yittam drishyam sadhu yuktya vyapohya nyeya pascha dega bhavastayoryaham. Here Shankaracharya talks about the status of both the attributes. The status of both the attributes he is talking about. These are all actually very technical slokas. He says, whatever is existent, I can put people to sleep very quickly if they are not with me. And also it's about 8:59 o'clock. So this very technical slokas, whatever is existent is real and it can never be negated. Whatever is existent, truly existent, capital E, cannot be negated. And whatever is non-existent, it need not be negated. Whatever is existent cannot be negated. Whatever is not existent need not be negated because it is non-existent. Then what can be negated? This is a question. Right? We are talking about negating all the time. Existent vastu cannot be negated. Whatever is non-existent need not be negated. Then what are we talking about negated? So whatever is negated should be something different from existent and non-existent. You know, Tarkashastra is extremely very, very interesting. Whatever is negated should be something different from existent and non-existent. Only the intermediary thing. In Sanskrit, existence is called Sat and non-existent is called Asat. So Sat cannot be negated. Asat need not be negated. Therefore, whatever is negated should be sadasat vilakshanam. It should be, vilakshanam means different. That is, in Vedanta, whatever is sadasat vilakshanam is called by a special term mithya. They call it mithya. And if at all we want the nearest translation in English for mithya, it can be translated as seemingly existent, which can be negated. It is not truly existent, but it appears to be existing. Seemingly existent, and so it can be negated. And that is why the rope snake analogy, that will come under what? Not under existence. An existent snake cannot be negated. A non-existent snake need not be negated. Then which snake we negate? A snake which is neither existent nor non-existent, but seemingly existent. We mistake, we superimpose the snake on the rope. There is no snake at all. That alone we call as mithya, anritham and all those things. So the Upanishad says that Ishwara's and Jiva's attributes are negatable. And therefore they come under mithya. Therefore he says, na idam satyam kalpitatvat. Ishwara's attribute is not sat. We don't say Ishwara is not sat. Be careful. We are not saying Ishwara is not sat, but Ishwara's attribute is not sat. We say Ishwara's superior attributes cannot come under sat because it is negated by what? By Shruti, Vedas. And where it is negated? Neti neti iti vakyehi. That's what we just know from in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Then what about Jiva's attributes? Na idam. Jiva's attributes also is not sat. Because it is negated. Then can we say they are asat then? They are non-existent? If they are asat, Shruti need not negate at all. They won't be negated. If they are asat, why should Shruti want to negate them at all? So they come under what category then? They are coming under the seemingly existent category. And therefore he says, na satyam. Both of them are not satyam. Both are mithya. They are seemingly existent. And Shankaracharya himself, he gives two examples to explain this. Rajyau drishta vyalavase. Vyala. Vyala means snake. So it is like the snake superimposed on the rope. And sopnavacha. It is like the dream superimposed on the waker. So he gives two examples. That means what? Both of them are unreal or mithya. Both of them are unreal or mithya. It is very difficult actually to assimilate this particular thing. See, if you really explain what it is, Ishwara's omniscience is unreal. And the Jiva's limited knowledge is also unreal. We think Ishwara is omniscient. But Ishwara's omniscience is unreal, Vedanta says. And if one finds it difficult to swallow, it can be presented perhaps in another way. We can try to somehow understand. When I say dream is unreal, for example, when can you accept that as a fact? You can happily accept that fact only after waking up. When you are still dreaming, and when you are afraid of the chasing, you know, that tiger in the dream, and you are running, you have a nightmarish dream, for example. And if anyone comes and tells you that the dream is unreal, he will never accept. Because in the dream world it is real. Then what can he do? He can say, dream is real and waking is super real. See, we are now talking about all in the relative plane. This real and unreal are all in the relative plane. Dream is real, if you say, then waking up is super real. So what we really want to emphasize is the degree of reality between dream and waking. They are different. So one is of a higher order of reality and the other is of a lower order of reality. Similarly, this world is unreal. And this attribute, from Brahman standpoint, the world is unreal. When you want to call the world as unreal, from the Brahman standpoint, right? So, and suppose if you are looking at the world from the body standpoint, what should we say then? This world is real and Brahman is super real. It all depends on from what drishti you are telling. From your body standpoint, if you say world is real, Brahman is super real. We are not bothered about what word we use. We are only interested in communicating the idea. One is of a higher order of reality and the other one is of the lower order of reality. And what is the higher order? consciousness. And what is the lower order? All the attributes are lower order. Consciousness alone is higher order. And when we understand this, then omniscience of Ishvara also is an attribute only. Limited knowledge also is an attribute. So the omniscience of Ishvara is an attribute. The limited knowledge of Jiva is also an attribute. And whatever differences we talk about, they are all the lower order alone. And therefore, Shankaracharya says, Ittham. Ittham means in this manner. In this manner, Drishyam Vyapohya. One should negate all the objectifiable, differentiating attributes, Vyapohya, negate all of them, between Jiva and Ishvara as unreal. So, Drishyam Sarvam Vyapohya. One should negate all of them. And once all attributes are negated, what will be left behind? The attributeless consciousness. That alone will be left behind. And once we come to consciousness, we don't arrive at true consciousness because people may have all these doubts. So we can have one Jiva's consciousness, one Ishvara's consciousness. Because once we negate Jiva's and Ishvara's attributes and come to conscious level, there are no more two things. Because number also is an attribute. We should remember that. Many times, you know, these are all obvious things which you don't really take into account. Number also is an attribute only. This is one, this is two, this is first, this is second. What are they? So saying that this is Jiva Chaitanyam, this is Ishvara Chaitanyam, this is one, this is two, if one counts, that is also an attribute. So remove the numeral attributes also. Then what is left out? There is only one consciousness. And we say we should not even use the word there is only one consciousness. Even there we have to be careful. We should not even use the word one consciousness because that one, when we say one consciousness, that one, that also belongs to an attribute. It becomes an attribute. It is called one because you have two, you can have three, you can have four. There is no need to say even it is one. Otherwise, it is not even one. So you don't have to say even if it's one attribute. That is why the Upanishad says the word Advayam. Advayam. Instead of using the word one, Ekam, it uses the word Advayam. It says no second or secondless without a second. Therefore, Tayoho. Tayoho means Jiva Ishwarayoho Eka Bhavaha. Eka Bhavaha, oneness. Nyeyaha. That should be understood. So the oneness between Jiva and Ishvara, that should be understood. That has to be recognized or that has to be wound up. I am the non-dual Chaitanyam. That has to be wound up. Yes, Sakshat Prabodha Samaye Swatmanam Evadvayam. In Dakshinamurti Sotra, we have read this. We have also quoted this so many times. And here we should remember, when we talk about the negation of the attributes and the negation of the duality, I need not negate that perception. One should be very careful because we are in the practical world. We don't have to negate the perception. You can see the two as two. Negation is only at the level of knowledge. After knowing, I can continue to see the attributes. I can see tall, fair, short, fat, all that I can see. But I should only remember the fact that these attributes are all of lower order of reality. I should only know that all the time. With that knowledge, I can handle the attributes without any problem. I can perceive them. Like what? Seeing a movie. When you see a movie, what happens? After knowing that the whole movie is what? It is nothing but light and shade. I need not stop the movie. Let the movie continue. But what should I understand? The movie and the characters are all of a lesser order of reality. Compared to what? Compared to the screen. And what is the advantage of the knowledge? movie cannot affect the screen. There may be lot of rain in the movie, screen will not get wet. There can be lot of fire in the screen, in the movie, screen will not be burnt. Screen is not going to be affected by the movie. Similarly, like the movie, all the duality, all the attributes, they dance about. The jnani knows. He knows whatever is happening around. Aham satyam jagan mithya. He knows. And therefore, pashyan, shrinvan, sprishan, jigran. We saw all that in Bhagavad Gita lectures. So, indriyani, indriyarteshu vartante, gunaha guneshu vartante. He knows all of them. One need not have to stop anything at all. Let everything continue with the knowledge that I am of a higher order of reality. Whatever I experience is of lower order of reality. So that person has, he understands it very clearly. The lower order world cannot disturb the higher order me. The lower order world cannot disturb the higher order me, the consciousness, the Chaitanyam. Not the Stula Shariram, me. I should not think I am Stula Shariram. Not the Stula Shariram, me. Not the Sukshma Shariram, me. The Stula Sukshma Karana Shariraat Vetiriktaha Avastatraya Sakshi Panchakosha Vilakshanaha Sachidananda Swarupaha. So that me cannot be affected. Sadhu Yuktya, with proper reasoning. What is that? If Shankaracharya, now it's also another small, these are all small details, but we have to understand. If Shankaracharya has to give an adjective as proper reasoning, he could have just said reasoning, but he said proper reasoning, then there should be an improper reasoning also. Seems Swami Dayananda, it seems he says, now it's good that, you know, at least we could remember Swami Dayananda, because, you know, his teachings have been of great value to many of us, and particularly me also, so, you know, it's good that we remember him at various occasions. And he, Swamiji says, if somebody says he's a good sadhu, sadhu means a good person, but if somebody has to say he's a good sadhu, that means there are, you've got some other type of sadhus also who are not good or whatever, right? So the adjective should have some significance. Since he talks about proper reasoning, so he is telling about sadhu yuktiya, means proper reasoning, then there is an improper reasoning also. So what are those? Proper logic or reasoning is that which that goes in line with the scriptural revelation. It should not go against the Shruti. So it is Shruti Yuktya. Whatever in line with the Shruti, that is the proper revelation. So Shruti Sammata Yuktihi is Sadhu Yuktihi. And Shruti Asammata Yuktihi is Asadhu Yuktihi. So whatever is in keeping with the Shruti, the Vedas, that is considered Sadhu Yukti. Whatever is not in line with that, it is called Asadhu Yuktihi. That is why we always say Shruti Yukti. Shloka 247. Tatastatau lakshanaya sulakshyam tayora khandaiga rasatva siddhaye nalam jahatyana tata jahatyam kintu bayartatmika yaiva bhavyam. So after negating the attributes, then we have to retain the consciousness. So we cannot negate the Ishvara totally. Only the attribute part alone should be negated and retain the Shuddha Chaitanyam. We saw it actually in Tattva Bodha. Some of you who have not attended those lectures, you can go back to our website and, you know, listen to those lectures. So what it says, Shuddha Chaitanyam, Upadhi Vinirmuktam, Shuddham Chaitanyam, Tvampada Lakshyartaha. That was what was said there. And Upadhi Vinirmuktam Shuddham Chaitanyam Tatpada Lakshyartaha. That all those things we saw in Tattva Bodha. Please refer to those lectures. So Tau. Tau means Shuddha Chaitanya Rupa Jiva Ishwarau. Shuddha Chaitanya Rupa Jiva Ishwarau. The pure Jiva without attributes and pure Ishwara without attributes. They have to be Lakshyau. That should be grasped. So that's what one has to grasp. The pure jiva without attributes and the pure Ishvara without attributes, that has to be grasped. Tataha. Tataha means after dropping the attributes, one has to grasp pure jiva and pure Ishvara. That means what? Attribute becomes an impurity. Right? If it has been dropped, then it is an impurity. Which attribute is impurity? Good or bad attribute, which is impurity? Because that question might come. Because goodness is also an attribute, badness also is an attribute. So if you say attribute is an impurity, is good attribute impurity or bad attribute? From the Vedantic angle, good attribute also is impurity only. That is why at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharman api parityajya. Tata vidvan punya pape viduya. You have to go beyond punya and papa, both. Therefore, su lakshyav. We have to arrive at the pure consciousness by what method? Lakshanaya. By using the lakshanavritti. The method of implication. We already saw this earlier, lakshanavritti, which we saw in the previous webinar. So, by using the method or function of implication, lakshanavritti, by function of implication, one has to arrive at the pure consciousness after dropping the differentiating attributes. And why should we do that? Tayoho akhandayikam rasatva siddhaye. To arrive at the total oneness of jiva and Ishvara. That is our goal. Akhanda eka rasatvam. This akhanda eka rasatvam is sajatiya, vijatiya, swagata, beda rahitam. We have seen all these things in great detail earlier. Sajatiya, vijatiya, swagata, beda rahitam. So the three words, akhanda, eka and rasa, they indicate total freedom from all distinctions. And remember, we are not bringing the consciousness, let us not assume that, you know, there is a jiva is sitting in one place and Ishvara is sitting in another place. So the attributes of jiva are all removed now and the attributes of Ishvara are all removed and then we will join both of them together. We are not talking any such thing at all. Attributes of both and jiva are removed and joining them together, those kinds of things never exist. So we never joined them together at all because they were never separate. Therefore, merger of jiva and Ishvara means dropping the notion. It is only a notional thing that they are different. We think they are different, but it's only notional. So akhanda eka rasatvam nama beta brahmatyagaha. I drop the idea that we were ever different. We are never different. I am never away from Brahman. I am Brahman. So dropping the notion is called eka rasatvam. So here when Acharya says eka rasatvam, it is only dropping the notion. Siddhaye. Siddhaye means to accomplish this oneness between the jiva and Ishvara, then we have to remove the attributes and retain the consciousness. And what type of lakshana is applied here? This is a small exercise. What type of lakshana is, because we went through a lot of these things in the last webinar. In the introduction we saw, we are not applying jagati lakshana here or ajagati lakshana here, but we are only using bhagatyaga lakshana. If you remember the lakshana, three lakshanas we pointed out in the last webinar. If not, please refer to the last webinar also. So, Jagatya, if you remember the examples I gave at that time, you know, the Australia playing cricket with India, that is for Jagatya Lakshana I gave. And also I gave the idli example with all the accompanying things like the sambar chutney and all for the Ajagatya Lakshana. And Bhagatyaga Lakshana also, I talked about all the three in the last webinar, for the mango or that example of, you know, bring me a mango and all those things. These three examples I talked in the last class. So I hope you remember. So the jagatya na alam. Jagatya na alam. By using the jagati lakshana, we will not be able to arrive at the oneness of jiva and Ishvara. We are now trying to find out by what method I can arrive at the oneness of Jiva and Ishvara. Jiva, Ishvara, your Aikyam. How can I arrive at? That's what we are trying to talk now. So, Jagatya na Alam, Shankaracharya says, by using the Jagati Lakshana, we will not be able to arrive at the oneness. It does not fit in. Tata Ajahatya Api na Alam. By using Ajahati Lakshana also, we will not get to the oneness. Then what should we use? Bhagatyaga Lakshana. Otherwise called Jagati Ajagati Lakshana. We already saw, gave this name also in the last webinar. Which is here called Ubhaya Arthatmikaya. Jagati Ajagati Lakshanaya. Bhagatyaga Lakshanaya. So Eva Bhavyam. That alone must be applied. So Bhagatyaga Lakshana alone should be applied. Attributes alone should be dropped. Suddha Chaitanyam will be, Chaitanyam will be remaining. And what is Bhagatyaga Lakshana? As we said, part is removed and part is retained. That is what Bhagatyaga Lakshana. And with that is the only way by which we can arrive at the Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. Shloka 248. Sadeva Datto Yamiti Havaikata Virutta Dharmam Shapas अपास्यकत्यते विरुद्ध धर्मानुभयत्रहित्वा. So Shankaracharya gives an example here for the Bhagatyaga Lakshana. He gives an example. And if you take the Mahavakya, Tattvamasi, if you take it, now it's a small detail. Tat also is a nominative case and Tvam also is nominative case. And in Sanskrit language, when both are put in the same nominative case, it indicates that there is no preposition coming in between. For example, Ramasya Graham, if you take, Ramasya is in genitive case and Graham is in nominative case. Therefore, Rama and Graham, the house, they are not identical. They are different and they are related also. The relationship is indicated by the preposition, the house of Rama. Therefore, when we have different cases, two ideas are conveyed. The first idea is what? That these two are separate entities. That's number one. And not only that, they are also related. And the relationship is indicated by the preposition. So, water from Ganga, water for Abhishekam. So, in all these things, prepositions are used to indicate the relationship. But here the Upanishad is using Tat Tvam Asi. And we don't find any case difference at all. Both are nominative cases. Which indicates that the Upanishad does not introduce Tat and Tvam as two separate entities. And therefore only there is no question of a relationship between them. Only when the relationship is possible only between two separate entities. For example, I cannot say I am related to myself, but I am related to somebody else. So, by putting in nominative case, the Upanishad clearly indicates that Sat and Tvam are not two separate entities. You are Brahman and Brahman is you. That's what it says. Then, what is the relationship between you and Brahman? There is no relationship. So, what is the conclusion? Only the names are different, but the object revealed by both is one and the same. And this taking the essence and dropping the non-consequential things, that is called Bhagatyaga Lakshana. To convey this, Shankaracharya, he gives an example. This is a very, very famous example often quoted in the Shastras. And the example is Soyam Devadattaha. This is a very commonly used thing in Vedanta. Devadatta. And, very important example given to, which conveys the understanding of Mahavakya. And we should remember actually the context also. For example, imagine there are two friends. They are together. Rama and Lakshmana. They are together. And a third person called Devadatta, he comes. It is something like, we have Tom, Dick and Harry. Right? Tom, Dick and then here Harry comes. In Shastra, we have Devadatta, we have Vishnudatta, we have Yajnadatta. So these are all some names. They always use, for example. So if Now Lakshmana, he already knows Devadatta, But I had met him long time ago and forgotten, maybe 25 years ago. They may be even classmates or something like that. So what all things would have happened in that long time? He would have got married, he would have got children, he would have aged. And so his physical body might have changed a lot. Early he had a head full of hair. Now, you know, 10% only hair is left, and that also is all grayed hair. And as more interaction takes place between them, so when Rama introduced Devadatta to Lakshmana, and when they started to interact, they talk and they find that there is a lot of things common. They talk about school days and all that things. And as more interaction happens, Lakshmana asks, "Are you that Devadatta?" He is asking that question. So because in the school days, whatever has happened and all, they started to remember. And suddenly Lakshmana asked him, "Are you that Devadatta?" So, soyam Devadattaha, that Devadatta who did all those mischief in school, are you that Devadatta? That is the question he asked. Saha, I am Devadattaha. So, if you really expand the statement, that Devadatta is this Devadatta. This Devadatta who is standing in front of me, in front of Lakshmana and talking to him, this Devadatta is that Devadatta of the school days. So, if you really take the literal meaning, the Vachyartha, there is a contradiction. Because that Devadatta refers to a person belonging to a different time, 25 years ago, different place in a college or school or some playground, and also with different attributes, with the black hair and all that thing, young. So this Devadatta, when we say, it refers to a different set of attributes like this time, this place and present attributes. And are these attributes same or different? They are very much different. Then how can we use the expression that Devadatta is this Devadatta? Even grammatically, it is not correct because that means beyond perception and this means within perception. Then how can we equate these two? But still the person understands. Lakshmana understands who this person is. How? When Lakshmana listens to the conversation, temporarily what he does, he drops the place. He drops the time difference. And he also drops, as Swamiji says, the hair difference. Black hair and white hair, all those different skin difference, all of them. That is the Desha Beda, the Kala Beda, and Dharma or Property Beda. All those things are removed. And having removed the changing attributes, he takes only Devadatta, the person. He left all others and took only Devadatta, the person. And once you understand that person, he is one and the same. He is not different. And this is called what? Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. And which bhaga is given up, which part is given up here? The differentiating attributes are given up. And what is retained? The person, the jiva, that alone is retained. And this method is Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. And this understanding that this Devadatta and that Devadatta is one and the same, that is called Aikyam. Jiva Ishwara Aikya, when we say, this is that understanding. And that is what is conveyed here in this shloka. Saha Devadattaha Ayam Iti. We have to repeat the word Devadattaha twice. Saha Devadattaha Ayam Devadattaha Iti. Ekata Katyate. Oneness. Ekata means oneness or identity. Katyate, that is revealed. So oneness or the identity is revealed. And how are we arriving at this identity? Viruddha dharmamsham apasya. By trimming, by removing, by shaving off, intellectually shaving off the Devadattas, all the other attributes. You know, in the school, whatever mischief he was doing, the gray hair and the nice appearance he had, all those things. By removing all those, by removing all of them, Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. And why have we to do that? Because the attributes are different. The attributes of today's Devadatta is different from the attributes of those days Devadatta. Therefore, viruddha dharma amsham. Here that word amsham is very important, significant, because he wants to show, the acharya wants to show bhagatyaga lakshana, bhaga, that amsham, that part. Therefore, you have to remove that portion. That is what acharya wanted to communicate. And which portion? Not any portion that you like. You cannot remove any portion that you like, but those portion which bring out the difference between them, that alone has to be removed. Not any portion. The differentiating attributes, they only have to be removed. Apasya. Apasya means having eliminated. So, ekata katyate. The oneness, ekata oneness, katyate is revealed. So, after talking about the example, now Shankaracharya comes to the Mahavakya. What is the Mahavakya? Tattvamasi Mahavakya. So, yata tata. Yata tata. As in the case of Soyam Devadatta yata, in the same way tata, tattvam asi iti vakye api. We have to apply the same bhagatyaga lakshana here also with respect to the tattvam asi vakya also. How to do that? Viruddha dharman ubhayatra hitva. Remove the opposite attributes, hitva, which are present in both of them. Ubhayatra, in both of them. So, what are the opposite attributes? Ishvara is sarvajnaha. I am alpajnaha. Ishvara is sarvashaktiman. I am alpashaktiman. Ishvara is omniscient. Therefore, one has to remove the all knowledge of Ishvara and limited knowledge of Jiva. Because Ishvara is all knowledge. Similarly, Sarva Shakti of Ishvara should be removed. And the Alpa Shakti of Jiva should be removed. And Ishvara, he is enjoying the status of cause, karanam. And Jiva is having the status of karya, the effect. So, the cause-effect attributes, they also have to be removed. Like what? Like the wave and ocean. If you look at wave and ocean superficially, what is the relationship? Ocean is the cause and wave is the effect. But forget the Nama-Rupa and look at the water. Where is wave or where is ocean? There is only one thing, the water, all the time. Therefore, causality and effectness, they are also attributes only. Karanam and Karyam, they are also attributes. See how Vedanta becomes so interesting. These are all, we are using Tarkika, the Tarka methods to understand the intricacies of Vedanta in keeping with the Shruti. That is most important. In fact, all the attributes we have to remove. After that, what is left out? Sat Chit alone will be left out. Chit means the pure consciousness. Consciousness is different from knowledge. Again, we have to understand this. These are all subtle differences. We may take it for granted, but this will all cause confusion. Consciousness is different from knowledge. Knowledge is always with respect to an object. When I am a conscious being, I don't have any knowledge. But when I operate my mind and sense organs, I acquire knowledge. So, knowledge is an attribute acquired. But consciousness is something which was before acquiring knowledge, which is during the presence of knowledge, and it will continue even after the removal of knowledge. So, as in the deep sleep state, all knowledge is removed. I am not knowledgeable in deep sleep state at all, but still consciousness continues. And therefore, chit, the awareness, and sat, the existence, except these two, everything will be negated. Everything will go away. So, Brahman is defined as Sat. Jiva is defined as Chit. So, Sadeva Chit. So, existence is consciousness and consciousness is existence. So, this is what Acharya wants to say here. And we will continue with the rest of the discussion in the next webinar. Yo Veda Dau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Lina Sayya Parasa Maheshwaraha Shri Krishna Arpanamastu Narayana.